Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014, episode 10.22, the Week 8 preview show. Well, another game in London is coming up. It's going to be an early game. I'll talk to you about that. Plus, the Detroit Lions are really selling the "there will be a team coming to London soon." That talk keeps continuing. Commissioner Roger Goodell is set to testify in the Ray Rice appeals hearing. Darrelle Revis was sent back to his island. I'll tell you why and who sent him there.
What?
The Bucks have a good old boy, and you'll be shocked to hear who it was. And the Pro Football Hall of Fame has a list of finalists for contributors. Plus, Joe Hobbs will represent the fans this week against myself, and I had to put the kibosh on late changes, because we'll talk about that as well. Plus, The Walking Dead continues, and oh my God, did you guys see episode 2? Yowza! Let's chop it in! Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. All right, thank you for listening wherever you are in this world, however it is you are listening, whatever it is you are doing to listen to the show, whether you're streaming it via computer or downloading it onto your mobile device, thank you for listening. I greatly appreciate it. And also, thank you everybody who heeded Doc Rob's advice and sent in a donation to the show. I greatly appreciate that. That really, I have no words. Thank you very much. I'm humbled by how much and how cool you fans are. You guys know who you are, and I will be thanking you all individually via email. The Walking Dead is back, baby, man, and the first two episodes have been crazy. I'm talking about crazy. This is an awesome start to the fifth season. And seriously, I don't believe I've ever seen the start of a season for any show where it's just all of a sudden, bang, bang, we're in it, we're going, we're moving, we're grooving. Good stuff, very good stuff. If you're not following along, you may want to avert your ears or plug your ears or not listen for probably the next 30 seconds. You hear that? That's the music, baby. You know when you hear that, The Walking Dead is on. Now, seriously, I don't believe there will ever be a zombie apocalypse, okay? I'm not one of those, yeah, the zombies are coming. Now, I don't believe in that. But if there is one, you want to make sure I'm on your team, okay? Although my daughter, Elena, says that there is going to be a zombie apocalypse, and it's called Ebola. Apparently, there is much that I still have to teach my young daughter. But then again, she turns 13 next week. She's barely turning 13, one day before Halloween. I love my kid. She's really into the show, as much as I'm into the show. Good stuff. The Walking Dead, if you're not watching it, watch it on Netflix. You can watch the first four seasons on Netflix and then catch up to season 5. Good, good stuff. Elena is actually here in the Rave Cave today as I record. So I have a captive live audience. She is wearing a t-shirt that says, "I survived the wait for October 12th. Do you want to explain that limited edition shirt that you're wearing? Get in here into the mic.
It says, "I survived the wait for October 12th because I did survive, and most people did not. And it's limited edition, so only 50 out there in the world." So,
what were you waiting for?
The Walking Dead. You just talked about it. Well, I'm confused.
So she survived having to wait so long until the 12th of October, which is when the premiere of season 5 started. I like that shirt, honey. I may be taking it for myself. Nope, of course not. All right, let's get to some NFL news. 15 games again this week, only two teams on a bye. And as I said, Joe Hobbs is coming in to represent the fans. And here's the deal. I guess I've got to lay down some rules. The thing gets generated for me from the website, It takes the person. I put their picks into the spreadsheet, and then I create the web page, which if you go to the front of the website, my picks and the picks of the fans are right there on that page. So everything's done, and then I send an email saying, you're the person who's going to pick this week. In this case, for Joel, I said, you have to pick the challenge game because, you know, I won last week, so it's the fans' turn to pick. And then he changes all kinds of picks. So I'm putting the kibosh on changing your picks. If you go out to the website and you put in your picks so that you could be entered to be one of the fans that goes against me, you have to make sure you got your picks in and you got what you want. I just don't have the time, unfortunately, to change your picks and then change the website HTML because it's a one-man show. I am here. I am the producer. I am the developer. I'm the website guy. I'm the sound engineer. I am the talent who hosts the show. Then I got to go up and post the show. I run the RSS feed. I make sure that the website is running. There's just far too much for me to do to then have to go back and make changes to picks that people have made. So if you are chosen in the future, please make sure that you stick to your guns. You got the picks in on the website, and that's what you're going. I told Joel that that's what I was going to do. I was going to just go with his original picks, and I'll read what he has to say to see. I think he changed a couple games. I just don't have time to go and change the website again. So anyways, before we get to those 15 games, let's get into some NFL news, and we'll start in Tampa Bay, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a good old boy, but it wasn't a player.
Just a good old boy.
Never meaning no harm. You know, Atlanta, he never meant no harm, girl.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day he was born.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers Director of Player Development, Isaiah Harris, was arrested on the 16th of this month, last week, with a misdemeanor DUI charge. If you go out, there's a website of his mugshot. He was looking a little scruffy, not good. 35-year-old Isaiah Harris was stopped by the Tampa Bay Police Department at 2:06 in the morning. Of course, remember, it's always after 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning. He was arrested on a DUI charge after he rear-ended a woman's car in a drive-thru at a Taco Bell. So he had a little drinky-drinky, decided that he was hungry and had munchies, went to Taco Bell, hit a woman, and then got arrested on DUI for that incident. Now, here's the deal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to their credit, didn't mess around with Isaiah. They said, so long, nice knowing you. You don't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here. And they fired him. They released Isaiah Harris of his duties after the arrest for driving under the influence. Now, Harris was released on $500 bond. He's no stranger to Lovie Smith. He's worked with Lovie. He worked with Lovie back in Chicago. Of course, Lovie Smith brought him over. This was his first year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, much to their credit, just released him. You know, here's what basically the Buccaneers had to say in a statement. GM Jason Light said, every member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is held to a high standard. This type of incident, particularly for someone whose primary responsibilities are to mentor and develop our players off the field, cannot be tolerated. Due to the nature of his position and the expectations placed on our staff, we made the organizational decision to part ways with Isaiah. So there you have it. Isaiah Harris arrested for a DUI and subsequently released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It didn't take them much time. Seriously, I think he was... like I said, he was arrested early on the 16th of October, and later that day, I think that evening, the Bucs decided to release him. So they didn't waste any time. Once again, I just say to players, and I'll say to front office staff, guys, get a designated driver. I don't mind if you drink. I know every once in a while we want to let off some steam. Heck, this past weekend I was in Dallas with my brother, and I let off some steam, but I did it in the confines of my brother's home. We had a good time. The next day we got up and went to see the Dallas Cowboys play football. It was a great game. And you just got to do it, and you got to be good about how it is you decide to drink, and just don't drive. Just don't do it. You shouldn't do it. And I can't continue to beat a horse with while he's down. I just get a dead horse while he's down. What's the saying? You beat a horse when he's down, or Jeff and I always used to argue about what the exact words of continue to beat a dead horse. I believe that's what it is. I'm not going to do it, but there you have it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they did it right. You get arrested for something like this, you're responsible for player development. Not going to happen. Can't do it here. You must go. All right. The NFL has released a statement that Roger Goodell, the commish, has compelled to testify in Ray Rice appeals hearing set to happen in a few weeks. So Ray Rice has appealed his indefinite suspension. It's set to be heard in a couple weeks on November 5th and 6th. That's when his hearing is. Ian Rappaport of NFL Media has said that Commissioner Goodell is being compelled to testify in the Rice appeals hearing per a source informed of the decision. So here's the deal. Everybody knows the story now. Ray Rice was involved in domestic violence. He beat up his woman, his then-girlfriend, fiance, now wife, in an elevator at a casino. He was suspended 2 games. Then TMZ posted a video of what showed what Ray Rice did in the elevator, striking Jhené Rice. Then the NFL decided to suspend him indefinitely. The Baltimore Ravens released him, cut him, and there you go. Now Ray Rice and the union have filed a grievance against the Baltimore Ravens and the NFL for wrongful termination of his contract. So that's going on, and the appeal for the suspension that the union is bringing up is going to be heard in a couple of weeks, and Goodell is going to talk and testify in there. I don't know what he's going to say other than the fact that Ray Rice told us XYZ. Then this video was released, and we saw ABC. And it was completely different, and therefore we felt that the 2-game suspension that we originally gave him was not sufficient, and so that's why he's been suspended indefinitely. I think that's the only thing they can say. I think that's the only thing he can say. Whether it's the truth or not, I don't know, because Ray Rice is saying that he told them everything. Did he tell him everything? I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that Commissioner Goodell is going to say that he did not get from Ray Rice what the video showed. I just want this to be done, really. It's really bad. It's really bad for the Rices. You know, as Jhené said in the statement, she wants her family to get back together and just be done with this and not have this be public. But he's over here appealing and filing grievances, and that's going to continue to be talked about. So we'll find out here in a couple weeks what the league decides and how the appeal goes. I find it very difficult to believe that the league at this point will reverse that indefinite suspension, and I don't see how a grievance against the Baltimore Ravens for wrongful termination of his contract, how he's going to win that. How in the world do you say that you wrongfully terminated me because I beat my wife? You have no grounds. Any workforce in America can terminate you if you do stupid stuff. And that's what happens. You're not any different just because you're a professional football player. It is a business, and we all know too well that the NFL is a business. And if you go and you beat someone, they can fire you. And that's exactly what they did. So I don't know how the union is even going along with this grievance filing. We'll see how all that plays out. Now, some interesting news coming out of New England and the New England Patriots. It was reported today that Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, sent Darrelle Revis home yesterday without allowing him to participate in practice after it was reported that the cornerback overslept and showed up late for his 7:30 a.m. meeting. Now, there were four sources, according to the Boston Globe, that said that Revis overslept, showed up late for a 7:30 meeting, Belichick sent him home, and I think that could be the end of Revis. Once you get in Belichick's doghouse, it's hard to get out of that doghouse. I mean, that doghouse is almost has an uncrackable lock to it. And if he puts you in there, you're going to have to shine like you've never done before on the field for you to come out of that doghouse. And I understand oversleeping. It happens. It's not. I don't think I've ever overslept. It doesn't happen to me. So I have like an alarm clock and then another alarm clock and then my cell phone alarm clock. I'm not going to oversleep. That's just not who I am. If I'm supposed to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, I will be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Elena, what were you trying to say? You're calling me a liar. Have I ever been late for anything? Yeah, I sleep in, but I'm never late. Am I late? No. I always get to where I need to go. On time. I hope I have taught you that, young lady. And here is something that I'll teach you then right now if you say that I have never taught you that. If you are early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, that is not acceptable. And that is what Darrelle Revis, of the cornerback of the New England Patriots, found out. You're late. It's not acceptable. Go home. You don't get to practice today. And you know what? I don't even know if you're going to play this week. Go. Get on. And that's what's going to happen to you. So be on time. No. If you can't hear her, she says, if I'm late, it's just because everyone else is early. That's not going to fly, young lady. Okay? On time means that you're early. If something starts at 5, be there 5 minutes till 5. Okay? All right? Do you want me to be late to your birthday party next week? At La Fiesta Grande? Yeah, why are you not having a party? Okay, so my daughter's not having a birthday party this year. That's right. So we gave her the option. You want to have a party? Do you want to take a couple of your friends to Disneyland? Or do you want us to buy you tickets to go see this concert? Who's in concert?
Shawn Mendes, and he's amazing. His voice is like an angel. Go check him out. His EP's on iTunes.
Oh, my God. Does he pay you to advertise for him like that?
No.
Go check him out. His EP's, LP's on iTunes. EP, whatever it is. Shawn Mendes, so we got you great seats. Floor seats to go see Shawn Mendes. That's your birthday party. For you and a friend of yours. Not just for you, but for you and a friend. Going to go see this concert, and that's why she doesn't have a party. So don't tell me that it's not even a party. You, and we're still taking you out to La Fiesta Grande for dinner. It's amazing what you get for your birthday. My 13th birthday, I got a dollar. That's what I got.
It's actually a really good birthday.
And it was like, happy birthday to me. You know what I bought with that dollar? A candy bar and a soda. Actually a really good day. I should put a microphone on you. That would be fun. She should be here. You want to be my producer?
Yes, I do. And yeah. I can be on the show. I'm just like make side comments.
She's gonna make snide. They're gonna be snide comments though, and I don't like that. What are snide comments? See, get a vocabulary a little bit bigger, and then we'll discuss. Finally, we'll talk about the London game where Reggie Bush made a statement about a team in London.
What?
That's right. The Detroit Lions are in London to play the Atlanta Falcons. It's going to be an early game on the West Coast. Seriously, usually the games in London start at 6 p.m., which is the 10 a.m. game on the West Coast. This game's going to be so early that it's going to start at 6:30 in the morning in California, 9:30 on the East Coast. My daughter's shaking her head. That's too early. That's too early. Do you think I will be up at 6:30 in the morning to watch Detroit at Atlanta?
Yeah, but don't wake me up. I wake up like that on the weekday.
Yeah, but don't wake me up. That's funny. I won't wake you up. But, yes, early game. So, anyways, Reggie Bush was talking to the London media today. He says, I think it's only a matter of time before an NFL team comes to London. And I think it's only a matter of time before they have a Super Bowl here, too. That's going to happen for sure. I don't know when, but I definitely see that happening. Reggie Bush there talking, of course. And then the general manager said that, yeah, the NFL is already looking into the logistics of having a team there, what it would mean, how bye weeks would work. You would have to schedule probably like 3 home games, 3 away games, and the London team would probably have to have a practice facility in the States as well. I don't know. I understand the appeal of the international series and the games being played at Wembley right now. It is a party. People come out to London from all over Europe. They fly in from Germany, Sweden, Norway. They come down from Scotland and Ireland. They come over from Spain and France. Yes, that's right. And they come from everywhere in the UK and Europe for these weekly international series games. And they sell upwards of 90 to 95,000 tickets. There's 90,000 plus fans at Wembley watching an international series game. There'll probably be about 85,000 people there on hand to watch the Lions play the Atlanta Falcons. But it is a party. It's one weekend out of the football season where there is a game at Wembley. Fans come down from all over. They have a good time. Boom. Great. It's looking great. Financially, it's great for everybody involved. The teams get a bye week the next week. It's good stuff. Good fun. Everybody loves it. Football, American football in London is taking off. That's all great in theory and in principle. But the minute you say, we have a team in London, they are, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, I'm just using this as a hypothetical, the London Jaguars. Okay, so they move the Jacksonville Jaguars to London, and they become the London Jaguars. It actually sounds pretty good. All right, so the London Jaguars, they're there, they're your team in London, that's the team you're going to go. First of all, here's the first problem. Everyone over there already in the UK and in Europe already has a favorite team. Their favorite team already plays in the National Football League right now, whether it be the Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco 49ers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, and so on and so forth and so on. They cheer for those established teams right now. How many of them are going to stop supporting their team that they already know and love, to support the London Jaguars? None. Let's say 10%. 5%. Okay, 5%. Atlanta says 5%. That's what I'm going with. 5% of those folks who already have a team that they know and love switch over and they start supporting the London Jaguars. Then you have new followers of the team because, hey, look, They've put a silly American football team here in London. Let's go and cheer them and support the London team. Okay. And there you go. You have another, some new folks that have never watched the game. They're now supporting this new wacky American football game. It's just not going to happen where you're going to sell 80 to 90,000 tickets every week to sell out a Wembley for 10 home games. It's just not going to happen because you're not going to have a lot of teams that will support that team. Now, you'll have fans who come in who support the teams that are going over to play them. You know, if New England comes over to play that team, yeah, all the Patriots fans will go and flock to the game. You know, the Bengals come over to play that team. Bengals fans will come out of the woodwork. It's going to be difficult to establish a following for the London Jaguars because it's a new team that fans just don't – I mean, although they have the what's called the London, the Max. Well, there's a fan club in Europe, in the UK right now. I'm trying to find their name. The Union Jacks. That's what it is. The Union Jacks, J-A-X. They're the fan club of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you have a fan club already built there that might take over. The problem is I just don't see them coming out week in and week out supporting 10 home games. You're selling out 3 home games right now, and I think it's because of the names of the teams that are coming. I don't think that you're going to have support for one team. It'll probably be good for maybe the first year, maybe even the second year. But after that, supporting a team in London long term, I just don't think it's going to happen. And trust me, I can say this because I've had conversations. I have gone to almost every international series game, and I've had conversations with the fans. I've been there talking to the fans. And I'm not talking about the expats. I'm talking about Brits and Europeans who have come over to watch this game, and I've asked them. They put a team in London. Will you support them? Of course not. I support the XYZ team. And that's how it is. They have a team that they know and love. They're not going to know and love a team that comes out of nowhere to start a franchise in London. That's my take on the international series and what Reggie Bush had to say. All right, we'll move on and we'll get started with the weekly picks. But before I do, I just want to play this again. Just listen to the drama that's being played in it. All right, enough of the Walking Dead. I'm only doing it because Elena's in here and she's a big Walking Dead fan. And she thinks that Chandler Riggs is cute. You hear that, Chandler? If you're listening, my daughter thinks you are cute.
Why would you say that? What? Like, you just like embarrassing me.
Why?
You should like really put a mic on me.
Like,
that
I'm embarrassing her right now. All right, let's move on and get ready for weekly picks. We'll start with not one, but two. El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. That's right. This week there are two games that are so big, it couldn't be one El Juego Grande Estupendo. There's two of them. We'll start with the first one. That happens tomorrow, Thursday Night Football on CBS and NFL Network as the San Diego Chargers travel to Denver to play the Denver Broncos. Now, Chargers, Broncos, Thursday night, AFC West rivalry matchup. San Diego coming off a loss. Denver coming off a huge win where they blew out the San Francisco 49ers 42-10. Huge game for both of these teams. The winner of this team takes full control of the division. Who you got? I've got Denver. And Joel Hobbs, our fan guest picker, is taking the San Diego Chargers. Joel says, Phil Rivers will, first of all, it's Philip. Okay, you call him Phil, he's going to knock you upside the head. Phillip Rivers will bounce back after last week. Peyton may get caught looking ahead to New England next week. The Chargers got him last year in week 15 in Denver. I'll take San Diego. Last year is last year. This year is now. and the Denver Broncos are playing good football, and their defense all of a sudden has come to life. You match that defense and that intensity with how Peyton Manning is playing football right now, I'm going to take Denver. San Diego will lose their second game in a row. Mark that down. The second El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana is the Philadelphia Eagles as they travel to Arizona. That's right. Eagles at 5-1. Arizona at 5-1. Oh, my God. Steven may have to eat some crow. Do you know what crow is, people? Caw-caw. Caw-caw. That's what it is. Eat some crow. Oh, Leonard, her Walking Dead references. You're killing me, kid. Oh, my goodness. Here it is. The line in this game. The Arizona Cardinals are favored at home by 2.5 points. So they got to win by a field goal. Philadelphia is coming off a bye week. Arizona is coming off a thrashing of the Oakland Raiders. And Carson Palmer is back. They say his shoulder is looking good and everything is looking good for Arizona. Joel is going to take the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's find out why he says. Philly's defense is very opportunistic, and Palmer has been known to throw a few INTs. I like Philly. Well, that's very succinctly put. And yeah, Carson Palmer of the past has thrown INTs. The Philadelphia Eagles, I'm not sure they're hitting all cylinders. If their defense is good, the offense is lacking. If the offense is good, the defense is lacking. I'm taking the Arizona Cardinals simply because they're at home. They know it's a huge game. It's El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. I thought Arizona was a joke at 3-1 and they wouldn't, you know, win another two games and make the playoffs. At 5-1, they're going to say, look at us. Make sure that you know that we are for real. They're going to take it to Philadelphia. I think there will be all over Foles, and that offense will struggle again. Meanwhile, Arizona will take care of business in the desert. So that's two games, both of them El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana, and right off the bat, Joel and I differ on both of them. Okay, now it's time to take a look at Games of the Week. We'll start in Carolina as the Carolina Panthers, fresh off getting whooped up by the Green Bay Packers, now have to host the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle is coming off back-to-back losses for the first time in like forever, having lost to Dallas back at Seattle, and last week losing to the St. Louis Rams in St. Louis after the Rams used trickery. Two trick plays to pretty much get that win. Seattle needs to bounce back into the win column. Their back is against the wall. They're sitting at 3-3. They're already a couple games back of the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Seattle knows that if they want to get back into the divisional race and get back into the race for making the playoffs, that they're going to have to step up and start winning and stringing together a few wins. It starts this week against the Carolina Panthers, who last week were exposed for having no offense. Seriously, people, Cam Newton cannot do it alone by himself. He needs help. He needs weapons. And just, he doesn't have many right now. So I'm going to take Seattle. Russell Wilson's going to put this team on his back, get him going again offensively. They'll get the W, and Carolina will lose and drop to 3-4-1. Joel likes Seattle as well. He says, Russell Wilson is being what Cam Newton should be. Kelvin Benjamin has been very fun to watch. Lynch should be able to get it going now that they've done messing around with Harvin. I'll take Seattle in a close ground game. Very good observation. I think it's not going to be close, though. I think Seattle wins it by at least a touchdown or more. Next up, the Indianapolis Colts travel to Pittsburgh to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Pittsburgh just made a mockery of the Houston Texans, scoring 24 points in the span of 2 minutes, 54 seconds in the second quarter to get that win 30-23. In comes another AFC South rival. Well, it's not really a rival, the rival of Houston, not a rival of Pittsburgh, but another AFC South opponent in the Indianapolis Colts. Fortunately for Pittsburgh, these two games are on in their house and on the road for the AFC South teams. Unfortunately, Indianapolis doesn't care where it plays. They're playing great football right now, and Andrew Luck is probably playing better than just about any other quarterback not named Peyton Manning at the quarterback position. I'm going to take Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts to take care of Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh is relying on the other team to make mistakes. The Colts don't make that many. I doubt they'll even turn over the ball once in this game. I like Indianapolis. Joe likes the Colts as well, and he has to say the following about this game. Without a three-minute gift, Pittsburgh would have lost to the Texans. Luck will throw at will, and I don't think Big Ben will be able to keep up. Indy to win. There you go. Just what I said. Andrew Luck's playing great football. Pittsburgh needed a pretty crazy 3 minutes there to score those 24 points. Doesn't happen against the Colts. I like Indy to win as well. Next game of the week, the Chicago Bears travel to New England to face the evil empire. The New England Patriots. Emperor Bill Belichick. Darth Vader Tom Brady. All right, I got a little carried away there. The New England Patriots, really, I don't know. It's funny. I got to read this email. I usually don't read emails on the show, but I got to read this one because I think it's quite fun. J.D. Ollett made a very nice contribution to the show, and I reached out via email, and I said thank you, that I appreciated it. It was a very generous donation. And he replied back, said, "Hey, Stephen, no problem at all. I was happy to I listen to the podcast twice a week, and I really enjoy it. I'm sure I have no idea how many hours of work go into making it, but the effort really shines through. Thank you very much, J.D. I appreciate that." He says, "Funny enough, it even helps me in my work. I'm a reporter on a financial publication covering dry bulk shipping and weather derivatives." Just bet you haven't heard anything that weird in a while. No, I hadn't, J.D. You're right. Financial publication covering dry bulk shipping and weather derivatives. Interesting. And part of my job is speaking to contracts every day, both there and in the States. Well, I was speaking to one of my weather derivative contacts. I asked him what he was doing the weekend, and he responded, "Watching football." Transpires he's a Patriots fan, and when I responded, "Ah, the evil empire," we proceeded to have a 15-minute argument on whether they are still the evil empire. 5 minutes on weather derivatives, 15 minutes on football. That's the way it's meant to be. Thanks for all you've done and all you will do. Thank you very much. I loved reading that email. It made me feel really good. And thank you for the donation, JD. Awesome. But, yeah, it's cool that I can call someone the evil empire, and then you guys can go and call them the evil empire and get into arguments with fans because of it. That's a pretty cool email. I'm glad I read it. Thanks a lot, JD. I'm not sure. They're still the evil empire because they haven't lost the division yet. When someone rips the division away from them, they will no longer be the evil empire. What did you say, Elena?
I bet
JD's
going to fangirl that he read his email on your show. I bet you
he's going to fangirl that. I'm not sure that. Okay, we won't even get into that. Anyways. I've got the New England Patriots. Oddly enough, I think New England is playing some good football right now, especially at home. They're doing some good stuff. Here come the Chicago Bears. There's turmoil. Brandon Marshall, after losing last week, yelled in the locker room, and apparently, you know, there were like media reporters outside. They could hear everything that was being yelled at and stuff. That was reported. Jay Cutler is up to being Jay Cutler, Big Mistake Jay. Had another interception and a fumble last week. I know Ratliff, there's someone out there who will probably say something mean about me because I continue to say bad things about Jay Cutler, but he was awful last week, and that's one of the reasons why they won. And I picked the Bears to win last week. Anyways, Chicago's just not looking good. Not looking good, and I don't think they can go on the road. It's New England and take care of business. I'll take the Patriots to win. The Green Bay Packers travel to New Orleans to face the New Orleans Saints. And, I forgot to mention that Joel is taking the Bears. I've got the Patriots. He is taking the Bears. Joel has what to say about that game. Bad Jay last week, good Jay this week. I think a shootout. Chicago for the win. I don't know. I saw Bad Jay last week, and I think we'll see Bad Jay again this week. The New England Patriots got a little bit of help on the defensive side of the ball, making a trade with the Titans. And I think they'll get after Jay. They'll force him into some turnovers. So I'll stick with New England there. The next game, the Green Bay Packers travel to New Orleans to face the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are just not looking really good. I gave them the benefit of the doubt last week against the Detroit Lions. They disappointed me miserably. Green Bay is just, they got Aaron Rodgers, and he's playing lights out football right now. Green Bay on the road, in a dome, fast track. I think they are going to make mincemeat out of that defense the Saints have out there on the field. I'll take Green Bay, and Joel has New Orleans in that one. Final game of the week. The Washington Redskins travel to Dallas on Monday night for Monday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys are playing just good football right now. And it's funny that everybody says, or everybody who said that the Cowboys would only win four or five games this season, maybe six games. Well, they're 6-1 right now. Best record in the league. And I don't know what you guys can say other than you have to admit you got it wrong. And I hope they admit they got it wrong because they got it wrong. Dallas Cowboys at 6-1. Here come the Washington Redskins. Now, this is one of the type of games that kind of makes me nervous a little bit. Dallas, you know, going up against a division rival, prime time. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. So is Joel. Joel takes the Cowboys, and he says, I may have grown up in San Jose, but I was born in Dallas and spent my first 5 years in Sherman. So I think it's a law I have to like the Cowboys. The O-line is what Big D has been missing for years. Everyone's talking about DeMarco Murray. I think this O-line is the difference to control the game. Dallas and Big D, no more. How about them Cowboys? Linemen don't need cheers. Let's just win, do the talking. And he'll take Dallas. And I'm taking Dallas. And the Redskins don't even know who they're throwing out there at quarterback. It's most likely going to be Colt McCoy, who will get his first start in like a gajillion years. And although Colt McCoy played for Texas, and I like the kid, I've always liked him, I thought he did not get a fair shake in Cleveland. It doesn't matter really who Washington throws out there at quarterback. If RG3 comes back to play in this game, he won't be 100%, and Dallas will get after him. If Colt McCoy gets out there, there won't be a lot of film to watch on Colt McCoy, and that kind of makes me a little bit nervous. However, the Dallas Cowboy defense, just they're starting to play to the situation. And there may be that kind of Dallas Cowboy defense of the 90s where they played that bend, don't break philosophy. Yeah, we'll give up big plays. I mean, because, heck, they're still giving up like 6 yards per play. However, they know how to go in there and strip the football. They did it twice last week against the Giants. They know how to come up with big plays at big times. They know the situation. They know if they can stop the other team a couple of times throughout the game and make a big play here or there, their offense is going to bail them out like it's been bailing them out all year. I like Dallas, and I think they take care of business against the Washington Redskins. All right, that was the final game of the week, and now it's time to roll through the games of importance, games of interest, and nap games. We'll start with games of importance. The London game, international series, as the Detroit Lions traveled to Atlanta. Actually, they traveled to London to play the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons are the home team. I have absolutely no idea, none, what is going on with the Atlanta Falcons. This is a team that I cannot for the life of me understand what has happened to that team. 2 years ago, they were fantastic. Now, they're like the Walking Dead, aren't they, Atlanta?
It started there. It starts in Atlanta.
That's right. Atlanta says that it started in Atlanta.
The
That's
bay,
where.
The Bay lives in Atlanta, okay?
The Bay. Who lives in Atlanta?
The Bay.
Who's the Bay? Oh, my God. So apparently Chandler Riggs lives in Atlanta, and that's where they filmed the show primarily, is out of Atlanta. Should I go to Atlanta and sign up to be a zombie?
Walkers.
Okay, be a walker.
If you take
her
with you.
If I take her with me. All right, I'll think about it. So anyways, the Atlanta Falcons, as a matter of fact, I am going to name them. I'm renaming them. From now on, the Atlanta Falcons, until they wake up, will be known as the Walkers. So, the Detroit meow kitty cats, who are almost losing the meow and starting to get some teeth, especially on the defensive side of the ball, travel to London to play the Atlanta Walkers that are full of zombie pox and stuff. And that's kind of how the Atlanta Falcons are playing right now. So, the Walkers lose. I got Detroit. Joel also has Detroit. Let's find out what Joel has to say about that game. He says, Matty Ice away from the dome, as far as you can get from the dome. Detroit pass rush, we'll get to Ryan. Detroit and London, baby. On a side note, I think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones should do a music video at a high school field playing catch for Paul Simon's Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard. Okay. I probably didn't read that and do it justice, Joel. I apologize for that. But anyways, he's got Detroit. I've got Detroit. They will get to Matt Ryan. Did you see how the Ravens got to Matt Ryan last week? I mean, it was brutally ugly. They just pounded him. And, I've got Detroit. I don't see Atlanta putting up too much of a fight. The Baltimore Ravens travel to Cincinnati to place the Cincinnati Bengals. Very interesting here. The Baltimore Ravens are playing good football right now. And the Cincinnati Bengals, two straight losses, they've looked bad. But they're at home, and I think it's a bounce-back win. Joel says, the last time Baltimore played a good team, they lost to the Colts. Giovanni Bernard will have a good game, and Dalton won't have to throw as much, which is good for Cincinnati. Home team for the win. Yeah, I like Cincinnati, too. I think this one, I haven't had a lot of gut games where I just like, I feel it in my gut. This is where I'm going. This is a gut game for me. Baltimore's coming in. Cincinnati's already taking care of business against Baltimore earlier this year. In this game, Baltimore is favored by as little as one or as much as 3 points. Heck, there's one sports book that's giving them their dogs. They're 1 point dogs. So, you can either take them as a one-point dog or you can have them at minus three. So I say take them as a one-point dog. I think they're going to win the game. Cincinnati plus one seems pretty nice to me. Baltimore is doing pretty good. They've kind of turned their season around. Joe Flacco looks a little bit more comfortable, but I think Cincinnati's defense wakes up this week, gets after him, and gets the win. Both Joel and I like Cincinnati. In the final game of importance, the New York Jets host the Buffalo Bills. You're like, Steven, how in the world is this a game of importance? Since the New York Jets only won one game, why are you making this game of importance? I don't know why I was talking like that, but you know, maybe I guess that's the representative of what the fans sound like. Is that a good representation, Linda?
No, but your accent before when you're talking accent,
that was All right, the New York Jets are at home. I like the New York Jets. Because I think that their backs are against the wall. I know Rex Ryan knows. Look, I've officially put them as dead. They're out of this thing. Okay, they're so far out of it, I don't even think that you can even see them right now. But there's playing for pride, and there's playing for each other. They got Percy Harvin. You're going to see him a little bit on the field. Here come the Buffalo Bills, fresh off a win that shouldn't have happened. I can't tell that the Minnesota Vikings, you know, they just, I don't know what happened. They fell asleep there at the end of that game and let Buffalo get into scoring range and touchdown pass to Sammy Watkins. Boom. Good stuff there for Buffalo. I think there'll be a little bit of a letdown. I think if one thing the New York Jets showed last week is that they're not going to go quietly into the night. They almost sneaked a win against the New England Patriots. They will get one against Buffalo. They'll head after Kyle Orton. They'll smack him around a little bit. And offensively, Buffalo's going to look different. No C.J. Spiller. He's been placed on IR recall list. And all of a sudden, the Fred Jackson's going to be out for a little bit. I don't know. I don't know I think they got Bryce Brown from the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think Anthony Dixon, that's what they're going to be going in at running back. They're not going to be able to run. They're going to have to rely on Kyle Orton. He's not going to get it done. New York Jets got a new toy. They'll use him a little bit. Geno Smith will find a little bit of a groove, and I think they'll get it done and get the win at home. I believe that Joel's going to make this the challenge game. That says, now for the challenge game, I'll pick Buffalo versus the Jets. This is the one I feel better about than the others we differ on. I was very excited to get your email this morning. Looking forward to going head-to-head this week. But he didn't give me a reason why he's taking Buffalo. Okay, here he goes. Watkin goes off. Harvin, not yet. Buffalo versus the run, very good. Only 88 yards game. Buffalo on the road. Yeah, I don't think so. They struggled with Minnesota last week. I think they'll struggle with the Jets here in this game as well. Let's go to two games of interest. St. Louis Rams travel to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. The Rams coming off their upset of beating the Seattle Seahawks. Kansas City off their upset beating the San Diego Superchargers. Kansas City's at home. That's good enough for me. Arrowhead is loud indeed. I've got the Chiefs, and so does Joel. Joel says, He says, I expect Jamal Charles for 125 yards and a TD. St. Louis has a letdown after their win at Seattle. I like Kansas City. And I especially like that Joel mentions the letdown because I see that as well. I'll take the Chiefs. Houston travels to Tennessee to face the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is a 2.5-point dog at home. I always say, fear the home dog, unless it's this situation. The Houston Texans come off a loss where they basically handed the game over to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Literally handed to them. They gave it to them on a silver platter. That's not going to happen. I don't think the Tennessee Titans cause many turnovers. Houston certainly won't try not to. Very difficult. Then will try not to turn over the ball in this situation. They will get after Tennessee, and they'll take the win. Joel, for the fans, is taking the Tennessee Titans. He says the following regarding the game. Will J.J. Watt carry the Texans? Will Bishop Sankey have a breakout game? Will the Amish Rifle throw picks or TDs? The Amish Rifle, I believe he is referring to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Will the real Titans QB please stand up? I guess I'll take the home team for the win. Yeah, Houston's not that bad there, Joel. It's just not that bad at all. Tennessee is that bad. I'll take Houston for the win. Tennessee lost to Washington last week, for crying out loud. I've got the Texans. Finally, the nap games. All right. In the nap games, the Minnesota Vikings travel to Tampa Bay to face the Bucks. I've got Minnesota, and Joel has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He says, I like V-Jax and Evans better this week than Jennings and Wright. Tampa Bay converts third down better. That might be the difference. Tampa Bay is at home, but Tampa Bay is awful. They've been horrible. And Minnesota, even though they have yet to really find their identity, they played really good. And they played really good last week. They played well enough to win. It just so happens they lost by a point at the end of the game. I like Minnesota. They'll get after Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay just doesn't have much of anything. I don't like anything that Tampa Bay is doing right now. The Oakland Raiders and Cleveland Browns, we both like Cleveland at home. He says, you see, I grew up in the South Bay in the 70s and will always love Raider Nation. Raider Nation! I'm encouraged by some of the things I've seen this year. Carr is progressing, and the O-line is doing their best to not get him killed. Only 4 sacks. That being said, the D stinks, and the Raiders don't play so well in the Eastern time zone. So, Cleveland it is. That's true. Oakland does not like to travel to the East Coast. I've got Cleveland as well. They're going to make up for that stinker that they laid against Jacksonville last week. They won't let another winless team beat them again this year. I'll take the Browns. Finally, Miami Dolphins travel to Jacksonville to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags are feeling pretty good about themselves right now. They got their first win. But here comes Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins fresh off a really good win last week. I've got Miami. So does Joel. He says, well, it's the Jags and Tannehill is quietly looking good. Also, Jordan is back. Love Cam Wake. Watch them play here in BC for the CFL's BC Lions. Now we have Aaron Rodgers, brother, trying out for quarterback here. I like Miami. I like Miami as well. And those are all the games. To recap, the challenge game is the Buffalo Bills at New York Jets. I've got the Jets. Joel has the Bills on the road. And I've just got to say this. If Greg, the Bills fan, is taking the Jets this week, that's good enough for me. I'm taking the Jets as well. Right now, I have a 4-3 lead in the challenge game against the fans with my win last week, narrow win last week. So that is the challenge game. I have a 1-game lead. The fans are picking, and he picked the Buffalo Jets. Overall, I am 71-34-1 on the season for a winning percentage of 67.4%. I need to get that up above 70. That's my goal this year. And the fans are at 63-42-1 for 60% picks. That's not bad at all. Elena, anything you have to say?
Go watch The Walking Dead because it's freaking awesome.
Go watch The Walking Dead because it's freaking awesome. I'm going to name this The Walking Dead Show. I'm Stephen Miranda, and thanks for listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out!